Ever get that feeling? You know, like you're seeing dollar signs, green lights, you're ready to ride this stock all the way up, and then PFT. It turns out you hopped on a dud.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
It's those breakouts, those tempting, promising surges. But as we're learning, looks can be deceiving.
Absolutely.
We're diving deep into the breakout fails today, figuring out how to spot a potential flop from like a mile away.
What really gets me is how easy it is to get swept up in the excitement. You know, it's like you see that rocket, you're ready for launch, but you got to make sure the thing's got fuel first.
Right, you got to check under the hood. So first up, the book calls this "Where's the Buzz?" Basically, is anyone even paying attention to this stock?
It's all about volume. Think of it like a concert, a few people mumbling the lyrics. Not exactly a ringing endorsement, but a packed house singing along to every word. That's the energy you want to see reflected in trading volume.
Makes sense. A packed house, or in our case, a market flooded with investors.
Yeah.
Not just any investors, right?
Exactly. We're talking about institutional investors. These are the big players, mutual funds, pension funds. They have the capital to actually move a stock. And when they're absent, well, it's like that rocket trying to launch with a leaky engine.
Okay, so how do we measure this buzz? What am I looking for?
The breakout fails gives a really helpful benchmark. On the breakout day, you want to see at least 40% higher volume than average. So, for example, if a stock usually trades 1 million shares a day, a real breakout needs at least 1.4 million shares changing hands.
Got it. So that's our fuel check. We've
Yeah.
got the energy, the buzz, the packed stadium. But what about the foundation? The book uses this analogy of building a house, right?
Yeah, like you wouldn't build a house on sand, would you? Same goes for stocks. A shaky base just won't cut it.
So what makes for a weak base?
Well, a base that forms too quickly, or one that's way too deep or erratic, it means the stock's volatile, like it doesn't know what it wants to do.
And that spells trouble for investors.
Big time. A stock that jumps up 20% one day, then plummets 15% the next. That's a huge red flag.
Yeah, talk about whiplash.
Exactly. Investors are like, whoa, wait a minute.
So what should we be looking for instead?
Ideally, you want to see a base that's formed over a few weeks with steady, measured upward movement. It's like a vote of confidence.
Slow and steady wins the race.
You got it.
Now, something else that stood out to me was that we shouldn't get too caught up in those sudden price spikes. It's like exciting, but
It's the sugar rush. Fun at first, but you know it's going to end badly.
exactly. And I feel like that's where a lot of us get tripped up, right? That fear of missing out.
Totally. We see that price skyrocketing and we jump in head first without really thinking about the bigger picture. But a stock that takes off without a solid base, it's like a plane trying to take off without enough runway. It might get off the ground, but.
But it's probably going to crash.
Exactly. And the breakout fails really emphasizes the importance of market sentiment, too. Think of it like this. Even the strongest swimmer could be pulled under by a rip current, right? Same thing with stocks. Even a fundamentally sound stock can struggle when the overall market is down.
It's true. I mean, sometimes you just can't fight the current.
Nope. And there's a statistic that really stuck with me. Three out of four stocks will actually move in the same direction as the overall market.
Wow. So we really do need to keep an eye on the bigger picture. So much good stuff in here. We talked about volume, the base of a stock, how the market influences things.
It's all connected.
It really is. But as we wrap up here, I'm curious, how do we put this into practice? The breakout fails, gives us the tools, but we're going to use them. Something to think about.